What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Wednesday. It is our favorite day of the week here at The Toast. It is hump day. The weekly reminder that it's so important to hump someone you love. And speaking of humping people I love, it's
don't
the
touch
girl
me.
Who never, it's the girl who never lets me touch her. It's Jackie. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
That is who I am. I do believe there was an inaccuracy in your intro, some misinformation, because you called hump day our favorite day of the week. And I don't think it's our favorite day. I really don't.
Yeah, no, because like any day that's not Saturday or Sunday is never going to be my favorite day. That's an amazing call. I would say, okay, while it's not my favorite day of the week, it's my favorite day to do the intro. How's that?
That's good. Better than Friday.
Oh, shit. Okay, not you like with your microscope. Calm down.
Listen, I'm on the hunt for misinformation. As Prince Harry said, it is a global epidemic out there of misinfo.
Prince Harry has said a lot of stuff, that too, but like 45 other things.
Yeah, he keeps saying stuff, which you guys will never know what he said, because if this is the only podcast that you listen to, we have kind of an embargo on the situation.
So I feel like even if this is the only podcast you listen to, you know absolutely everything that's going on, because there's like I know everything about Prince Harry, and I'm getting fed this information against my will. I'm not seeking it out. I'm trying to stay far away from this man who is really like torturing me. Yet here I am knowing everything.
Yeah, we do know a lot. And that's before even like clicking on the headlines, reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone even reading the book? I think, is it the 10th? Oh, it came out yesterday.
It came out yesterday. I saw people on social media like going to Barnes & Noble. I saw people on social media on TikTok sharing snippets of the audiobook because it is read in Harry's voice. And it's kind of crazy, like the audiobook parts for sure.
Yeah. The way that it's written, like it's weird to me. He's like, Pa said not to do that. It like reminds me of Crawdads. Like,
Jackie,
Pa said this.
It's Little House on the Prairie. Like, Pa and I went to the garden.
It's weird that he calls King Charles Paul.
Right. Especially when there's a lot of speculation. He might not be his Paul.
He should be calling him either father, would be acceptable for me, daddy. That's
very
British. I think
father's very British. Yeah.
It's also just like weird. I can't explain it. And I'm not going to explain why I feel weird about it, but I do.
Normalize just feeling weird and that being the end of it.
On that.
Today's Wednesday, which means we have a fabulous show. We've got lots of good stories. We also have Dear Toasters, where we're going to change and save lives, which is just always a fun thing to wake up and do.
And I'm coming at you from my toxic mother-in-law era, and you're going to get some perspectives that you did not sign up for.
No, but that's the thing about The Toast. It's like we're always giving you well-rounded perspectives. It used to be, you know, two wives, but now it's a wife and a mother-in-law, potential future mother-in-law, God willing. And that means our perspectives are changing. And I feel like that's good.
And the thing is, at least for me, reels, get ready. Life is about perspective. And it's all about seeing your life through the lenses of other people, because that's how people see you.
It's so true. It's called self-awareness. And so many people in our day and age lack it. And I'm worried for you, because if you're wondering, like, why do I have no friends, or why don't people like want to hang out with me? It's most likely because you're not self-aware and you're not seeing yourself through the lens of other people. And like, you're not seeing how you could be annoying or rude or condescending. So maybe try looking at life through the lens of like your friends and family. And maybe you'll know why people don't fucking stick around.
Yeah, so at Dear Toasters, we're going to try and let you know how the world sees you. And I do think, for the most part,
it's going to be hurtful. It might be hurtful.
With these toasters, like, we're usually team toaster. But there's a one in a once in a while where it's like, girl, you're wrong.
Girl, do you like my outfit?
I do. So I know you have a big interview today, and I should have kept that in mind when I wore my boys lie set, because you've been like casual all week. So I was like, I'm gonna copy McClurd. She's so cool and trendy, like in her McClurd era. And now I look like a slob, and
you look great.
Like a queen.
No, let me tell you, I'm not even dressed nice. Well, I was planning on dressing nicer than I've been dressing for my interview today, but I told you yesterday, like, it is literally 40 degrees here. I packed like dresses and shit. I have nothing to wear. And when I was complaining about that on the toast yesterday, you know, a toasty social media manager from the brand Rails was like, we have a showroom in LA, like, pick a couple things that you need for the week and we'll just send it to your hotel. I had a whole new wardrobe by 5 p.m. last night after the episode. This whole outfit, I got a stunning cashmere set. I had got a cashmere sweater to wear to dinner last night. Like, I don't know what the fuck I was going to wear for my big ass interview today, but I'm glad I didn't have to think about it, because I got this gorgeous cable knit moment from Rails. Thank you.
That's really beautiful. I kind of would like one.
You know, that's what I love, that love about the toast. It's like, just say something like, I want a Maserati. And then I think the Maserati social media manager, who's probably a toaster, will send me one.
Or she'll at least reach out and send you, like, you know, a pin that says Maserati and say thanks for the shout out.
And that's just as good.
Just as good. I'll wait and see if anyone wants to reach out about that set. I would love one. And if not, I'll get one on my own. But I can't talk about the brand that you're wearing without calling it Rails.
I don't give a rail.
It's Rails.
And you know what it is? It is Rails.
Israel.
I think I'll take a trip this year. Should I go to Italy or Israel? What do you think?
I think you should go to Israel. Did you see the clip going around? By the way, I've been sending you such funny reels. I hope that you're taking the time to watch some of them.
I've been watching all of them, because reels people are real people.
Facts. She said it, not me. But have you seen the clip going around from the Miss Universe pageant of all the country girls introducing themselves, calling
Albania!
Out
Albania?
Yeah. You know, Costa Rica, whatever. And then they keep going, and then it's like, France.
Yeah, I have seen that one. Have you seen the compilation of Bachelor girls who were former pageant queens doing their intros? Alabama.
Oh, yeah, but that's, no offense, that's kind of like old.
Oh, not the Reels person shaming me for not being on trend.
Reels are coming up in the clutch. I don't even know if you know what I'm talking about with Miss Universe. It's like really recent.
Well, just to put into perspective how behind on the times Jackie is, I think it's important that everyone knows that maybe 4 days ago, Jackie discovered who Hezbollah was. She sent me a clip of Hezbollah and was like, who is this kid? He's so cute. I'm like, he's 40 years old. He's like a Russian UFC fighter and he's everything.
He's a UFC. I did some research after. He's like a really big UFC fan, and they've like welcomed him into the family. And now my algorithm on Instagram, you know how like after every three people that you follow, they give you, you know, someone that you should follow. Yeah. All of those suggested posts are reels and memes of Hezbollah. And I'm not complaining.
No, you should start a Hezbollah fan account. Like, I totally get the obsession. I know he's like of age and he looks like a child because it's an illness he has, but he's so cute.
He's so cute. The content is so pure. And then the people who like meme some of the stuff that he does, I don't know what context he's, you know, chewing and making that face.
Yo, Jackie, I'm so glad you know about the chewing Hezbollah meme. It's the best thing on the planet.
It's the best thing on the planet. And that's my new internet obsession. I do believe that I'm late, because when you said, oh, that's Hezbollah, like, duh. I had that name, like, rang a bell from, like, you know, like the Island Boys on TikTok. Yeah. Like, I've heard of it. I couldn't tell you what it was.
No, you don't need to believe me. Like, you are late. It's just a fact of life. No,
I do believe you, because I believe women.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, I'm glad you're here.
Happy to be here. You know, the wheels of justice turn slowly. but they turn mighty fine.
And the wheels of the toast don't turn slowly, actually. We just pretty much beat a joke until it's dead. But we've got a great show today. I've got such a busy day. I've got my big interview, which I'm really excited for people to hear. And then I'm doing someone else's podcast that I'm like actually a fan of. So I'm just like, today's actually the definition of podcast.
Oh, for me, it's a podcast sort of day. Just a twofer.
Still.
And you can tell that Claudia takes these podcasts very seriously, because not only is she wearing a cashmere set, she's wearing loafers.
Yes, I am. I've been wearing
Chanel. You see these loafers? Chanel. What's that from?
My comedy special, Disgrace Queen, now available to stream on Amazon Prime.
That's the first comedy special. Don't get it mistaken with N-Log and think that you missed something.
Yeah, N-Log is still in the editing phase, but I can't wait for everyone to see it. I actually just recently saw the first cut. Oh my God, it was cackling. I mean, I think I'm hilarious, but I watched with Shapiro, Olivia, and Ben because I wanted like some thoughts when I was in Florida. I wanted their like take. And, you know, getting Shapiro to laugh, like, he's really not my target demo. So every time he cackled, it was like a huge win for me.
I feel like Shapiro thinks you're so funny.
No, he does. But like, stand up is very personal. And like, me talking about like my fat ass and like my pop culture, like, it's really not necessarily targeted for him.
Yeah, but I think he's a big fan of yours. Don't doubt yourself.
I think so, too. No, I'm not saying I didn't think he was a big fan. No, I never said that.
I think Shapiro really likes you, Claudia. And I think he's really glad that you're his sister-in-law.
I agree. I would argue he likes me better than you.
Well, now we're really close because we live near each other, and because
you both abandoned, you both abandoned the family. You do have that in common,
and because I'm Kayla's favorite auntie, so
that's definitely true. And if I would feel bad about not being Kayla's favorite auntie if I wasn't Harry's favorite auntie, so I'm okay. You know what, Kayla, you can keep Auntie Sack, okay?
Yeah, no, it's just facts at this point. Like, we don't even have to. And now that there's enough nibblings to go around, like. I'm Kayla's favorite auntie, you're Harry's favorite auntie, and Levi and the snitch have a connection. Like, she's very calming with him.
I agree.
And Olivia doesn't care because, like, they're all her kids. So, of course, they love her the most.
Yeah, they do love her the most, which is kind of, like, the cool thing about being a mom.
You don't have to compete. Like, when you say, like, oh, Harry's, you know, my child, like, your child, yeah. I'm like, sure, girl, sure. You don't even know what we get up to.
Let me ask you a question. Is it like so rude and annoying when I say like Harry's my son?
No.
Like, you're not offended by it?
No, but I'm also just like not a wiener who's offended by stuff.
Such an important distinction. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I carried him for 10 months. I labored in childbirth. But like, you love my son enough to think of him as your own. Like, why the fuck would I be offended by that?
We love a rational queen. Like, we really do. Let me ask you another question about my auntiehood. Is there anything I do as an auntie that like you don't like? Like, I kiss him on the mouth, I call him my son, I say he's a child of Christ. Is there anything I do that like you wish I would stop doing, like, but you would never tell me? Now's the opportunity.
No, nothing that I wish you would stop doing. I think you're a great auntie, but it is like, when you kiss him on the mouth, like, it makes me realize, like, I kiss him on the mouth sometimes, but he also always has a pacifier in.
So true. So I'll take the passy out.
Right, so I mostly kiss him on the cheek and stuff, but it makes me realize, like, I think you kiss him on the mouth more than I do.
Good.
Yeah, good. It's whatever.
No, and when Harry grows up, God willing, you know, one day gets married, hopefully not, and he's such an affectionate husband, that girl can thank his auntie for teaching him affection at a young age.
It's true. I'm sure she'll be thanking you. I'm sure the two of you will be extremely close.
The way I'm going to hate that bitch, like, no matter who she is, like, she better, I know she's probably, like, in utero right now, but you better watch her fucking back, okay?
No, I will be hard to please when it comes to his betrothed, but it can happen. Like, there is a girl out there that I believe could be good enough for him.
Yeah, me too. Margot Robbie, is she available?
No, I actually don't think she would be good enough for him. No offense. Like, Hollywood's kind of gross.
Yeah, actually, so true. Speaking of Hollywood, I was here. Oh, you want to hear the craziest thing? So I'm in my hotel last night. Maybe, what time was it? I got back. I got locked out of the room. Maybe like 3:34. And somebody walked out of the elevator in like a major ball gown, full glam, like a team of people. And I remembered it was the Golden Globes last night. And she was probably going. So then I went on Getty Images. I wanted to know who it was. I mean, I know who everyone is. And I didn't recognize this girl. So I'm on Getty Images, like, searching for someone. It was a black spaghetti strap dress with like a corset top and then just like poofy at the bottom. And I swear to God, Daisy Edgar Jones was wearing the same exact dress. Yeah. And and the same hair. It was like a curtain bang, pulled back, middle part. It was not fucking, I'm telling you, I feel crazy. It was not Daisy Edgar Jones. I know who that is.
Yeah.
But it literally, like, it was her.
But, like, there's also, I mean, I guess she had a team of people, so she must have been somebody. But there are a lot of randos at the Golden
Fraudulent
Globes.
Actors. I completely agree.
Or, no offense, like, someone's partner. Happy yeah. to be there, but, like, they're so not true. Getting snapped.
So true. Well, speaking of the Golden Globes, I feel like we could dive in to the Fast Five, get stewarded.
We could. And then, you know, the Fast Five are extremely diverse today. We're covering a lot of different categories.
You absolutely love to see us diversifying our content.
Mm. So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know. Yeah, you.
And today's episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility. Knowledge is power, and when you know more, you can make better decisions for your body, your health, and your future. There aren't many decisions bigger than having a kid, but for many women, their fertility is a huge question mark. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You can mail it in with a prepaid label, and you'll get personalized results within 6 business days. Those results will give you insights into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, which is basically how many more or fewer eggs you have than an average woman your age, and other important factors that can impact your fertility. The results will go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to review with your doctor for next steps. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones for just $179. And if you go to modernfertility.com/toast, you can get $20 off your test. Plus, you can get reimbursed for the test through your FSA or HSA. So if you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, clinically sound information about your body can help you make the right decision that's perfect for you and your future family. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast. That means your test will cost $159, which is a fraction of the cost of what it would be at a fertility clinic or a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast. That's Modern Fertility, Modern FERTILITY.com/toast, modernfertility.com/TOAST. Thank you, Modern Fertility, for sponsoring today's episode.
Thank you so much, Modern Fertility.
All right, what do we got first? Golden Globes?
No, actually, because something happened this morning that I actually think is a bigger news in the grand scheme of things. And it's some aviation news.
Because, I heard.
You guys, the FAA has lifted the ground order on flights after a 2.5 hours delay. But they failed to explain the catastrophic computer failure that delayed at least 6,000 flights and halted America's air traffic for the first time since 9/11. So early this crazy. Morning... If you are on the East Coast, like it affected you more so, because we'll talk about, Claudia, your personal experience as everything does come back to you.
It really does. It really does.
But the FAA's NOTAM system, which pilots use to see flights, failed overnight. The issue was fixed by 9 a.m. Eastern time, but more than 6,000 flights were delayed as a result. It is the latest air travel headache for the U.S. after the holiday travel debacle, the Southwest Airlines scandal. System is back up and flights are resuming, but after 6,000 flights get delayed or canceled, then, you know, those crew members don't make it to the cities where they need to go, and it just continues to spiral. So not only is it a headache for all the travelers today, but it's also fucking fishy as hell.
Yeah, no. Where's the explanation? I would like an explanation, por favor.
No explanation. The White House said this isn't a cyber attack. I guess just after, you know, decades of working, it just crapped out.
Right. And so I woke up at 7:30 and I had seen this article, and literally I had initially woken up at 6:30 because Ben went to the airport. So I called him. I'm like, are you at the airport?
But you guys, the time differences are crucial here, because 6:30 West Coast time is 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, which is actually when it came back online.
So I was like, are you at the airport? He's like, I'm pulling up. Why? And you know, Ben doesn't know literally anything that goes on in the world. Like, there could be a major like attack on the United States and Ben would have no fucking idea. Like, he just doesn't exist on this planet. I don't know what he does all day. So I'm like, is your flight taking off? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, of course you don't know. So I explained it to him. He's like, I have no idea. He took off completely on time, totally normal.
Well, that's because his flight was probably the first flight of the day, so it wasn't affected by cancellations, because the West Coast like had that 3-hour window where delay. They were able yeah. to, you know, it was back on by the time the West Coast woke up. And he was doing a very short regional flight, which means, you know, he wasn't going to New York where things were affected, where then he would have been delayed. So
yeah,
thankfully the Benefect worked its magic, but it's crazy that he was traveling on a day such as today.
And so he's going to Napa because today they're doing the production run for the Skinny Confidential X Spritz new flavor. It's going to be a capsule collection. I know that the fact that Spritz and Lauren are collabing has been announced, but I don't think they've said the flavor, so I'm not going to spoil it. But let me just tell you, it's a flavor very up my alley, and I'm very excited. And I was going to try and get to Napa today because I want to like try and like be in the facility and like take pics and stuff. But you know, podcast, couldn't do it.
You can't do it all. They say that you can, but you can't do three podcasts in a day and go to Napa.
No, you actually physically cannot. So I'm glad Ben made it.
The flavor is up my alley as well. I think we all really like the flavor.
Yeah.
Do you think Ben will be able to bring some back for you?
Actually? That's a good
call. Less than 3 ounces?
No, because the good thing about LA is they have JSX, which is like a private, it's a private airline, but you could just like buy a seat on like a plane and it's literally $200.
It's semi-private,
but you don't fly out of like LAX. You fly out of private airports. You don't have to go through security. Mm-hmm. And like you can technically bring, so that's what he's flying back. Let me send him a text. Can you bring me a sample back?
Did he fly JSX to Napa?
No,
okay, because I was going to say, right. Like, that would be germane to him taking off to successfully.
This, to me contributing to this thing. No, they didn't have the right, like, time for him, but his flight home was on the right time.
Got it. Okay, cool. So he could also bring you maybe a can, maybe a bottled.
I just asked if he could bring me a can. I don't know if it'll be done by today. I think, like, production runs take a few days, but whatever.
Super cool.
You know the owner. Moguls.
And you know the owner, so you'll just be able to get that.
I do know the owner of Spritz. I think if I give a quick handy, you know, later in the hotel room, I might be able to get my hands on a new can of Spritz.
Spritza. By the way, speaking of you being inappropriate, we did finally learn what smut means.
Okay, what a segue, but nevertheless, continue. I forget. Yeah, you did find out that smut, which is what people refer to those like porny Colleen Hoover books as, actually is an acronym for?
Sexually mature undertext. Something like that.
It didn't hit the way I needed it to hit, like when you found out. Like,
but I'm glad that it stood for something as opposed to standing for nothing, which you know I hate.
Like, why undertext?
It might not be under. It might be a different word. That was the only word that felt weird. Smut meaning. You know what? That's what Google is for. Sexual maturity undertext. Okay, so.
Like, still makes no sense.
Yeah.
You want to hear like just a personal anecdote, speaking of Google?
I mean, that's literally what the show is for, so yeah.
Okay. Great call. Good call. Through no doing of my own, my default browser on my laptop has changed to Yahoo. And let me tell you, it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to me in my life. And like, I literally went into my settings and changed it back to Chrome and it won't go away.
Wait, you have a Yahoo browser or search engine?
Search engine. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My default search engine has been changed to Yahoo. And my life has been horrible ever since. Like the way I tried to make a Google form yesterday and like I could not get to Google form from Yahoo. Like Yahoo sucks.
Yeah.
Just a personal anecdote I wanted to share on my podcast.
I'm sorry that that's happened to you.
And I can't figure out how to switch back.
Google it.
Rude.
Okay, Yahoo it.
I did. And like I went back into my settings and I turned it off and it's not.
That's so weird.
Yeah, honestly, I downloaded a VPN to watch the stupid fucking Eagles game on Sunday.
Truth is coming out.
Ever since then, my computer is trash. Like, I have viruses. I get porn. Like, it's horrible.
The truth emerges how your computer just one day decided to be different.
Yeah, no, I believe it was the VPN's doing.
Got it. Darn you, VPN. Are you ready for our next story, which is some Hollywood news as the Golden Globes were on last night? And though neither of us watched, there were some highlight moments and some big winners.
I will say I did watch the first 20 minutes while I was getting ready for dinner. So I do.
How
I do
was
feel
the
like
monologue?
I missed that part.
Oh, okay. So not the first 20 minutes.
No, like 20 minutes in the beginning.
Got it. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So Golden Globes, you know, the stars, some of them came out to celebrate the Hollywood Foreign Press and their big winners. So let's go through the list of winners and share our thoughts.
Great.
Best motion picture drama. So that's like best movie. The Fabelmans.
Never even heard of it.
Me neither. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Cate Blanchett, Tar.
Never heard of it.
Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Austin Butler, Elvis. That was surprising.
Yeah. Was he up against Brendan Fraser in the same category?
Yes, of course.
That was a letdown for sure. I mean, I'm happy for Austin Butler. And I saw this adorable video from backstage of Kaya giving him like the biggest kiss and hug. And it was beautiful to see like two skinny, rich, perfect people like being happy. I'm so happy for them. I'm just overjoyed for them. So I'm glad we got that moment. But like justice for Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, but I don't think Brendan Fraser was going to win because there's too much beef between him and the HFPA and he wasn't there. And it's like, I don't think they're trying to punish him, but it's like, they're not going to call out the fact. It's like Agreed. A self-own because it's like, then if he wins, but he's not here, everyone will ask why he's not here. And it's, oh, because like we suck. You know?
No, it reflects very poorly on the HFPA. I totally agree. So a lot of people say that, like, you know, the Golden Globe is a foreshadowing to the Oscar. But in this situation, there's like this beef and honestly, I don't think it's a foreshadowing to the Oscar, to be honest.
No, I don't think it is. I also don't feel like the Golden Globes in recent years have foreshadowed the Oscars. I feel like people win at the Globes and then the other people win at the Oscars. And then like by the end of the award season, everybody has at least one award.
It's so true. We're all winners here.
So true. So I'm glad Austin Butler got his moment. I think this is where it ends for him.
I agree. I mean, he was incredible. And I do think like he's deserving of the accolades. I don't think the movie was incredible. I think he was. But, you know, he did all this. He changed his voice permanently. He lived as Elvis for 3 years. I'm glad he got his silly little award, you know?
Yeah. Did you see that people are roasting him because he's still talking like Elvis in his acceptance speech?
Yeah, no. And I did research on YouTube looking for clips of him before Elvis. He had a normal voice. I was on Good Guys podcast this week and we were talking about Austin Butler. And I asked Josh, I'm like, you know him from like old school Nickelodeon days. Josh said his voice was not like that. Like he had a normal fucking voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Best motion picture, musical or comedy. The Banshees of Inisherin. I've heard good things.
Mm-hmm.
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Michelle Yeoh, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I love Michelle Yeoh. She is fab. She's an it girl. I love her.
And that was a star-studded category.
Yeah.
Then best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Colin Farrell, The Banshees of Inisherin. Then best motion picture animated, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Yeah, I saw that. I was shocked by that.
And the title of the movie is called Guillermo del Toro's.
Listen, Pinocchio. I'm not going to clown on that because I
would do the same thing.
Claudia Ashray is the toast. Like, I'm putting my shit in there all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. I love that.
Claudia Ashray is, you know, the revival of Hairspray because that's really what my dream project is. Like, I would put my name on it.
Claudia Ashray's Hairspray, period.
Yeah, right.
Best motion picture, non-English language, Argentina, 1985. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture, Angela Bassett, Black Panther.
Yes.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture, Ki Huy Quan, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Okay, and his speech was that's like the moment from the show that's going viral. I actually saw it in real life.
I didn't see it.
You never saw a cuter fucking man in your whole life. And he ended it talking, I'm literally going to like cry, like talking about his wife. How like she like always supported him. He had like, all he ever wanted to do was be an actor. And he was like, Hollywood didn't want me. I could not get arrested. You know, I think he might be like 40 or 50. And he was just so fucking happy to be there. Could not believe he won. Loves his wife so much. So precious. Watch his speech. It's adorable.
I will. I've seen some of the viral stuff from the award show, but I haven't seen that one yet. And we'll get to some of that stuff. Then best director, motion picture, Steven Spielberg, The Fablemans. Best original song went to the movie RRR. So Taylor Swift didn't win and Rihanna didn't win and Lady Gaga didn't win.
So I have to say, I thought I watched that category live, and the man who won was so unbelievably cute and perfect, and I'm so fucking happy for him. But the way that Lady Gaga's Hold My Hand has really become one of my favorite songs, like one of my favorite Lady Gaga songs of all time, it's not spoken about enough. It's literally one of the best songs ever written.
I agree. That probably would have been my choice if I were on the HFPA. And I mean, Rihanna showed up. Like, that's fucking rude that she didn't
win. Probably thought she was going to win.
You think? Or it's just like Rihanna doesn't leave the house very often, but like the Golden Globes, I got nominated. Okay, fine. I'll go to that.
Yeah,
sure.
Perhaps.
Prestigious. Like the whole room stopped and stared when they walked in.
They did.
Best TV series drama, House of the Dragon.
Love that.
Did you see that acceptance speech? Because young Rhaenyra, did you see her?
I didn't.
Claudia, she was drunk as a skunk up on the stage, like holding on to old Rhaenyra.
Oh, who looked and so cool, by the way.
Everyone was quaking because like she's so drunk.
Oh my God. I absolutely have to go and see that. I miss that.
Yeah. So that's love one that of the viral moments. Yeah.
I mean,
then best performance by an actress in a TV series drama, Zendaya, Euphoria. And you literally called that when you saw that episode.
I actually, I said that about Sydney Sweeney.
No, you said it about Zendaya, the episode where she's like running around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I did think that this season was the season of Sydney Sweeney. I thought she was like, her character goes through like a mental fucking breakdown on this season. And she really did amazing. I thought that she would win. But Zendaya was amazing too. Yes. And I actually remember like that whole episode where she's running around town. I did say that.
Yeah. Then best performance by an actor in a TV series drama, Kevin Costner, Yellowstone.
I saw.
So deserved. He actually wasn't there because he had some flooding in his home.
But oh, yeah.
I'm so happy for him.
Me too. I feel like we were just talking about how like the awards don't really recognize Yellowstone as like a premium show.
Yeah, they really don't. Like, it wasn't even nominated for best TV drama.
Right. And like, I don't know what about this particular season was so good that Kevin Costner finally won.
No, it was just like he was too good to ignore any longer.
Right, right.
Yeah. Then best TV series, musical or comedy, Abbott Elementary. That's something I definitely want to watch. I've heard that it's a content upper.
Would love it. First of all, it's so much camper like drama, and the campers are so cute and funny, and it's exactly what you're looking for, like positive vibes. It's also written so well. It's hysterical.
Yeah. Then best performance by an actress in a TV series, musical or comedy went to Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary,
who's also the creator.
Yes, who's also the creator. Best TV limited series, The White Lotus won. And then what I just want to skip to is Jennifer Coolidge won for White Lotus as well as best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a miniseries.
Iconic queen. We absolutely love to see her doing the most out there.
Yeah, her speech was really beautiful, really humble. She spoiled the show for me, but you know what? It's been 4 weeks. It's been 4 weeks since it finished and I still didn't watch it. So like, was I going to watch it? I can't be mad about that, honestly. Like, if I was desperate to watch it, I would have watched it.
I'm loving like the second or third coming of Jennifer Coolidge. And what I think is so cool about this whole renaissance that people are having with Jennifer Coolidge, and she admitted this and I didn't even realize it until she did, is that so much of it had to do with Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Like how Ariana Grande really gave her like a platform again, like 5 years ago by doing that impersonation and then like bringing her out on The Tonight Show and like introducing Jennifer Coolidge to an audience of young people.
Putting her in the Thank You Next video.
Right, right. I think that I'm loving what we're getting from Jennifer Coolidge, and the fact that it started with Ari, and the fact that Jennifer Coolidge like acknowledges that and is so grateful is a really a perfect example of women supporting women.
Right, and the fact that the creator of The White Lotus is Ned Schneebly.
Ned Schneebly is another like added layer of pop culture dreams that I simply can't.
Yeah. So those were the Golden Globes. If you watch them, I hope you enjoyed them. And that's that on that.
Congrats to all the winners.
Congrats. Are you ready for our next story, which is some wonderful news?
Yes.
Bill star Damar Hamlin has been discharged from Buffalo Hospital, and he is heading home to continue his remarkable recovery just 9 days after suffering on-field cardiac arrest. Damar Hamlin has been discharged from Buffalo General Hospital to continue his recovery from home. The 24-year-old has been receiving medical treatment since collapsing and suffering a cardiac arrest during the first quarter of the Buffalo Bills Monday Night Football matchup with the Bengals last week. He has shown encouraging signs in the last few days and has now returned home to continue his rehabilitation there and back with his NFL team.
So is he going to be able to play? Like, is he?
I was wondering that too. Like, if so, probably not anytime soon. I'm sure that's not the priority. But, like, what kind of recovery will he have? Like, a full recovery? Is this something that he will always have to live monitor with and live with? Also, what happened? They have yet to tell us what happened. And I feel like when he is feeling like himself again, maybe he'll share. Because it's really not for some PR spokesperson to tell us his medical information.
No, right. At the end of the day, like, it's medical information, and that is private, and everyone has a right to privacy. And so if we never find out, it's none of our fucking business.
Yeah, but the way that this has had, like, the whole country, you know, just so worried and concerned, I imagine that when he's ready to, when he even can, like, physically, like, speak and do an interview or something, like, he will probably share. Again, if he didn't, like, will live, but I think a lot of people are really concerned about what happened.
Yeah. You know, and people are invested and, like, now are, like, lifelong fans of Damar. I totally agree. So I hope we get a sit down. I'm sure that we will, but, like, take your time, relax, go home, be with your family.
Yes, 100%.
I'm glad, though, that's important. That the story ended in this way, because, like, it could have had a different outcome.
Yeah, and that now he can recover at home, which is much more comfortable than being in a hospital.
Yeah, and 9 days after, like, literally your heart stopping is amazing recovery, and it's great.
Yeah, so that's some positive news for the day.
Also, I know it's not a story. I'm assuming it's not because I just saw it, like, breaking news on my phone before. Did you see that Shannon Bedore's boyfriend broke up with her?
I did. I considered it. And I moved on.
It's not story worthy, but I just wanted to know, like, what your thoughts were on that.
I felt sad. I felt sad. They're together 3.5 years. It seemed to be a good relationship. Shannon historically doesn't handle breakups well.
Right.
I feel like it's another situation where kind of she invested herself so much in this relationship and, like, the rug has been pulled from her. Though it's way different than David. Like, she's financially independent and she'll be fine. Her girls are older.
Yep.
It's just different. He's not the father of her children. But, you know, our girl Shannon likes companionship, so it made me sad.
No, I agree. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Shannon, even though I forget how I even feel about you anymore, I'm with you.
Shannon, our hearts are with you. Because
I wrote so hard for so long for her, and then I remember feeling like that was a mistake.
Yeah, you did ride so fucking hard for her.
Yeah. So anyways, what do you say to someone going through a breakup?
My heart is with you.
Get well soon.
No.
He's trash.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You're better off without him. That's what you say.
You're better off without him. Yeah. Especially if he would do that to you.
Yeah, right.
If he doesn't appreciate the magic that is Shan.
100%.
Next story, a little music news, because the Coachella 2023 lineup is here, everyone.
Yes.
And the headliners are Bad Bunny, Phone Chuckin' Bad Bunny, Blackpink.
I literally did not know what you were saying for a second. I'm like, phone chuckin'? Who's that?
You're like, what did you say?
I'm like, I thought it was Blackpink.
Blackpink, my faves, and Frank Ocean are the three headliners at this year's Coachella Festival, with a lot of sub-headliners. So I'll read the second line of each day, because that's, like, the biggest-ish. So on Friday, we have Bad Bunny, Gorillaz, Burna Boy, Chemical Brothers, Catronata, Blondie, Becky G will be singing in the shower, and Metro Boomin.
Cool.
Then the next day, we have Blackpink, Rosalia, Eric Prydz, it's really small text, Boy Genius, Suicide Boys, Kid Laroi, Charlie XCX, Labyrinth, Underworld. Then the third day, Frank Ocean, Bjork, Kali Uchis, Porter Robinson, Fisher, Chris Lake, A Boogie, Dominic Fike, Jai Paul, and then a ton of others. Oh, and then Calvin Harris. Calvin Harris. At some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was not planning on going to Stagecoach, and I mean, not Stagecoach. Sorry, I am going to Stagecoach. I wasn't planning on going to Coachella. I thought maybe if it was like this, like a headliners that were tailored towards me, like maybe I would get there. I'm happy for everyone. I know there's like huge Frank Ocean fans and huge Blackpink fans and huge J Balvin fans. So
Bad
I'm
Bunny.
Really happy. Oh, fuck. I'm so sorry. Bad Bunny fans. So like, I'm so happy for them. Like, I feel like that's like so iconic for them. I'm so happy to stay home.
Yeah. I'm happy. I wasn't planning on going. None of this is titillating to me, except for, of course, Blackpink. But like, I'd rather see them in concert on their own than yeah. go to like a whole festival and like not even have good seats. So
right.
I'm glad for the world that like there will be more Blackpink. And it's yeah. cool because Blackpink has performed at Coachella in the past and they've really like worked their way up to now they yeah. are like the Saturday night headliner, which is so awesome.
That's so true. Like, it's such a big deal. Ice cream chillin', chillin', ice cream chillin'.
Blackpink in your area.
So good. Wait, the last... Oh, so people are like quaking because it was reported and it was like leaked that Justin Bieber was headlining. He's not. So I think a lot of people were disappointed in that.
What's going on with Justin Bieber? Is he okay?
In terms of like Ramsey Hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just recovering. I don't think he's been like working a ton.
I haven't checked. I don't follow him, but like the last he like made headlines was when he was like suffering from Ramsey Hunt. Like,
right. And he called off his tour. And I think he's just been like chilling and taking it slow.
Like, could he headline Coachella if he wanted to?
I mean, it's one night. Well, two nights over the course of 2 weeks. So maybe.
Yeah. Well, if everyone, whoever's going to Coachella, I hope you have an amazing time. And
happy
that this
for
is
you.
The headline you were hoping for.
Me too.
Because it's the one you got.
Good. Because it's the one you got.
Our fifth and final story is some really interesting influencer turn of events pig news.
Oh, yeah.
So I want you to just sit back and listen to this story.
Okay.
Because...
Story time with Jax.
Story time. The Gentle Barn, which is like a rescue center for animals, posted a TikTok on Monday saying this about a pig named Pearl. Pearl was found alone in a field next to another pig who had passed away. She came to us with tattered ears and a potentially life-threatening infection in her uterus that has since been healed. She's clearly been through so much trauma that we can't begin to imagine, but she's now safe with us at the Gentle Barn. From what we've been told, it's believed she was purchased originally from a breeder by an influencer. People often buy mini pigs or teacup pigs for clout online, believing they will stay small. When they inevitably grow very large and have many unexpected needs, they're sadly discarded. While we don't know everything she's been through in her past, we know her life now is filled with friends, nutritious foods, the highest quality care, and so much love. So then, of course, it did not take anyone too much time to figure out that this Pearl pig was... Hold on, I want to get the brother right. Logan Paul's pig named Pearl. He had been posting Pearl, like when he got Pearl. He even said himself, like, I thought Pearl was a mini pig. And then, you know, she grew into a big old pig.
Mm-hmm.
And then this update, I guess, you know, also Logan's fans hadn't seen Pearl in a while. And now we hear from this Gentle Barn saying, like, pig has been through dire straits.
Right.
And Logan, you know, mistreated this pig. So I saw this yesterday and I was like, oh, that's really bad.
Me
that's
too.
Really bad. Like, and like, and usually there's like two sides to every story, but like, I don't know how there's like another side to this. But did you see Logan Paul was on TMZ explaining what happened?
I did. And I just want to say, like, this is literally the Lucy apple juicy of the influencer world.
Yeah. So then Logan went on TMZ TV, TMZ Live, and talked about his former pet pig, Pearl, who is now being looked after by Gentle Barn Rescue. He says he owned Pearl for a couple of years and gave her a good life at his home in Encino, California, saying he would even cuddle and sleep with the animal and made sure she had, quote, the best life. But when Logan moved to Puerto Rico during the pandemic, he says he sent Pearl to live at a horse ranch in Santa Clarita, California, because he wasn't permitted to bring her with him. Logan says Pearl received amazing care at the ranch. He then said Pearl lived at the horse ranch for 10 months, but had to be rehomed again when the ranch owner moved out of the state. He says he was unaware of the rehoming. Then Gentle Barn posted this TikTok saying that the Pearl was irresponsibly rehomed and found next to a dead pig. Logan said he only found out about Pearl's current situation when the video came out, and he says he checked his records and he is certain he didn't rehome the pig irresponsibly. He's also claiming innocence on the second pig that was allegedly found dead next to Pearl. He says the farmer denies knowing about a second pig and says Pearl was transferred to the farm alone.
I believe that. I don't think that I didn't assume that second pig was Logan's.
His. Yeah.
No, and this is so unfortunate because I actually do believe Logan in, he did move to Puerto Rico during the pandemic, that completely tracks. And I believe that he rehomed it at a, like a local ranch or whatever he did. And I'm sure that place was lovely. I don't know if when you know, rehome a pig at someone else's farm, do they owe you an explanation if they decide to rehome the pig? I don't know. I actually do believe Logan. I feel like this is so unfortunate. Like, there is literally no excuse to abandon and neglect an animal. But to put 100% of the blame on Logan, I don't think is fair. You know,
I don't think so either. I think it's really, really unfortunate. And that this is what happened, but it seems like he tried to do everything correctly and like so that the pig would live the happiest life possible. I also feel like the gentle barn, like insinuating that Logan discarded the pig because it wasn't Minnie, like, and just like assuming and putting that out there. It's also like, it's a rescue center. It's like, it's so, they're so like magnanimous that it's like, why would I assume you're being shady?
No, by the way, like their video was like definitely shady, definitely like it was weird for like an organization to have like a video so shady and like really not like they didn't call him out, but like it was not hard for people to put together who it was. And it did make it seem like this pig literally left Logan's house, was abandoned by Logan, like it missed a bunch of chapter
in
the middle.
For being too big. Which, by the way, that is a real thing. Like, celebrities and influencers and people buy mini pigs thinking that they're mini and then they grow. Same with mini horses. And then they grow and they're like, that's not what I want. But only a real monster would then be like, well, get out.
Yeah.
In this, you'll sleep on the side of the road.
I think like the general takeaway here is like people really should not be buying animals that like they don't want or need forever. Like, if you can't commit to like fostering and taking care of this animal for the rest of its life, then like don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, but things do come up for people. Say like you get a dog and then you have a baby that's allergic to the dog.
No, of course I understand things happen, but like I feel like Logan didn't need this pig.
Yeah, well, he did say that he, if he could go back in time, he would tell himself not to buy it.
Oh great, okay. So I actually believe him,
Claudia.
I want to say like I do believe him. I just think this is really unfortunate, like beyond.
And he's pledged to help with Pearl's care at the gentle barn.
Okay, good. Even though they like shaded the fuck out of him. Like,
I know, but like what else can he do?
You don't expect the tone of like the social media from an organization, especially when like rescues animals, to be so like hostile and like drama channel-y, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why when they insinuated that like Logan discarded of this pig because it was too big, you just kind of take them at face value.
Of course.
It's like, you guys are a charity. Like, you wouldn't just lie. Make shit up.
Yeah, no, the social media manager there was like being like a little controversial.
Yeah, a little clickbaity, but this, I guess, highlights the gentle barn and the work that they're doing. And
it's great. It
stresses an important message. But like the mess, it's hard because it's like, okay, so say for some reason you have to rehome your animal, which I don't think a lot of people want to do, but say that you do. So you find this wonderful ranch, acres and acres for the animal to live amongst other animals. And then like, you're like, oh, okay, I'm giving them the best life possible.
Yeah.
My job is done.
Right. But it's not. You think, right. No, that's why rehoming is like not ever ideal.
Yeah, and that's really what happened with Lucy apple juice.
Like, exactly.
Dorit rehomed it to a good person. To a person she thought was good, and that person somehow rehomed it to a shelter.
Yeah. Okay, well, we still have Dear Toasters, our Wednesday advice segment, where you guys can write into deartoasters@gmail.com, and we will do our best to save you from whatever it is that you're going through, and we will always keep your shit anonymous. So Dear Toasters is brought to you by Stamps.com. January means dealing with customer emails, returns, gift card purchases, and the inevitable increases in postage cost. Stamps.com teamed up with the post office to get you huge mailing and shipping discounts up to 86% off. It's a new year no-brainer for your small business. Print your own postage right from home or from your office within minutes of signing up, and you'll never stress about finding the fastest and cheapest shipping solutions. Stamps.com does it for you automatically. The post office is just elevated thanks to Stamps.com having amazing partnerships with USPS and UPS for unbeatable rates up to 86% off. Stamps.com automatically tells you what your cheapest and fastest shipping options are. There's no guessing, no overpaying, and no overthinking. It's a one-stop shop for all of your shipping and mailing needs. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been an indispensable resource for over a million businesses. You can get access to the USPS and UPS services that you need to run your business right from your computer anytime, day or night. There's no lines, no traffic, and certainly no waiting. Start the new year by saving serious money on mailing and shipping. Get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with the promo code TOAST for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. There's no long-term commitments or contracts required. Just head to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter code TOAST. All right, ready for Dear Toasters?
Ready.
Dear Jax and McClurd, how you doing? I don't know what to do. I am happily married for a few years now to my husband, who I love and adore. I was in a previous relationship that ended a few years before I met my husband. My ex, let's call him Baldy, he broke my heart and he left me thinking I'd never find someone ever again. Imagine that, me, a smart, beautiful, and gorgeous queen. Needless to say, I did meet my husband and we had a perfect wedding and we are living out our cute married life. But here's where it gets complicated. My ex is a part of my friends group, and we've managed to coexist in social situations. My husband knows we dated previously. We never really interact with each other, but neither of us were willing to lose our friends over our breakup, so we just learned to live with it. Part of me has always found satisfaction in the fact that I was married and moved on, and he was still single slash dating. Well, now Baldy just let the friend group know that he is proposing, and part of me is so livid that he's going to get a chance to be happy. Why am I being like this? How do I get over this? Also, because we're in the same friend group, we were invited to the proposal, we'll be invited to the engagement and the wedding. Thankfully, we will be traveling and we missed the proposal. But do I need to go to the engagement and the wedding? He did come to ours. I just genuinely don't want to be there, but I don't want to look sour in front of our friends, even though I totally am. Help me, sincerely, a petty queen.
So first of all, if this is a bad man who's like not a happy person, like he's not going to now experience happiness, like if he's just like rotten on the inside. So you don't have to worry about him like being so happy, and you don't want that for him. As far as not going to the other stuff, like come up with legit ass excuses, like book trips, go see family, and then make it seem like it just didn't work out. There are ways to not go to a wedding where it doesn't look like you're being petty.
I agree, but I think it actually does look petty if she doesn't go to the proposal, the engagement, or the wedding. I think you got to go to one. And you said you can't go to the proposal. So I would go to the engagement party. Like, just get wasted. Like, it's a fun night out with your friends. I don't think you, like, literally get something really legitimate that you can't get out of for the wedding. But go to the engagement party. Like, engagement parties are short. They're not like 8-hour weddings. Stay for an hour, take some pics, like, be seen. So you don't look bitter, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So you don't look bitter because I don't think you are bitter, but you sound a little bitter.
You sound bitter, but like, I don't think it's because like you're unhappy in your marriage.
This person destroyed you.
Yeah.
And they don't deserve happiness. And like, you can be happy in your marriage and love your husband and not want anything to do with this person, but also like still have a major fucking grudge.
I agree. Like, normalize, like not normalize, like moving on, but like always like holding a grudge for real. Like
human emotions aren't perfect. You know, we're not perfect. Agreed. We're human.
I agree, and I think you have to see this from the lens of how other people would see it. Like, if you don't go to any of the events and, like, all your friends are like, wait, that's kind of weird. Is she still in love with Baldy? No, go to one. Go to one, look stunning, and have the best time. Like, dance and drink and be the life of the party.
And it's, like, the worst thing that could happen is, like, his simcha somehow in your reaction to it. Like, no, reflecting badly on you. It's, like, not only did he get a win, but you took an L. This can't happen.
No, like, by showing how little you care, you will win, but if you care too little, like you don't go to any of it, you will look bitter.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance. It's a tightrope to walk, but you can do it. I know you can. Go to the engagement party.
You can do an engagement party. I agree.
Get a new dress and get your hair done.
Our char.
Jackson Claude, hello and happy new year. I spent the holidays seeing all my family, like many others. My cousin Haley is in college, and she's definitely an interesting character. She's worn makeup for a while, but she's never really gotten it right. Actually, she's gotten worse. Her makeup is always caked on. It's extremely orange. She wears white eyeliner underneath her lower lash line. She doesn't wear mascara. She also always has fake lashes that are hanging on by a thread, and it's just a mess. I know I probably shouldn't be thinking this way, but I feel sick watching her in this world full of critical and mean people, imagining what others are thinking of her. Is there a nice way I can offer some makeup suggestions? She's also a very flirtatious girl, to say kindly. I'm worried she's getting a reputation for her endeavors on top of her horrible makeup application. I probably sound like a bitch, but I just want to get herself, her makeup, and her hygiene together so she can have the best possible life for herself. I love her dearly, which is why I feel like I can't sit back and watch any longer as her older cousin. I wish my aunt would help her out, but she really isn't into makeup and she just hates that she always wears so much. Help. How can I help out my cousin without seeming rude?
Oh, this is dicey because on the one hand, like, bad makeup is a rite of passage and like no one can just like snap you out of it. Like, you have to come to those realizations on your own and then like look back and be like, yikes. You know, you're not going to look back on what you looked like yesterday and be like, oh, I was all wrong. Like, it's just a part of growth. So I don't think that you could say anything without you sounding like incredibly mean because like she clearly likes how she looks like. And it's her body, her choice.
No, and it's really, it's makeup is really personal. And like, even though you might think it's ugly and crazy, and I imagine it wouldn't be my style either, like whatever makes a girl feel pretty, like, and whatever she wants to put on before she leaves the house as like her protective armor, like that's her choice. Like, and it's her style and it might not be your style, but I think if you said anything, you would certainly not come off as like the protective, loving older cousin. You would come off as like a bitch.
Yeah, you would come off as the people that you're trying to protect her from.
Yeah.
I feel like there may be ways, if you guys hang out a lot, like where, you know, sometimes like I've done Claudia's makeup. Yes, we do it for a vlog, but like you could try that. Like you could be like, could I do your makeup for this event? Like, I just like love your face. I feel like you'd be such a fun canvas, like something like that.
Yeah.
And then she could see how she looks with your idea of makeup. Maybe she would like that, but maybe she wouldn't. And if she doesn't, like, she's fine.
She's fine. A good way, like, also, like, maybe hire a makeup artist that, like, you really like and be like, I'm getting my makeup done for our cousin's wedding. Like, do you want to come and get ready together? Like, she can do your makeup, too. Like, offer to pay for it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, I don't know if this is a hill you necessarily need to die on.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. She's not hurting anyone. She
right.
Clearly, she takes the time and the effort every morning right. to paint her face this way, like, she must like some version of how it looks.
Or she just, it makes her feel prettier and it makes her feel like safe and comfortable or whatever it is. Like, and maybe you just gotta leave her alone, honestly.
Yeah, or you could even like, if you could get her like a nice foundation for her birthday, be like, I know you love makeup. Like, this is the one on TikTok people are saying like is the best foundation. Like,
yeah.
Maybe she'll stop using like her orangey cakey stuff.
Right.
Maybe she'll try it and be like, nah, it's not orangey enough.
No, I feel like honestly you should leave this alone.
You could try a little, but I wouldn't push it. I would get her a gift of a foundation. I would maybe, like, if you guys have an event, be like, I got a sick makeup artist. Like, it's like two for one. Tell her it's free for her. You know, but don't push it because it's kind of mean.
All right. Our third and final Dear Toasters is kind of crazy. Hi, Jackson Claude. Big fan since the breath. My biggest flex in this life is that I went to Camp Toast and I love you guys. My friend Mary has this boyfriend named Josh. Josh is a total loser for many reasons, but this situation took my distaste for him to another level. Mary and I have a mutual friend named Taylor who is casually hooking up with Josh's friend Mike. One day, Taylor came to me and told me something disturbing happened the morning before when she and Mike were together. Mike got a video from Josh that was of him and Mary having sex. Taylor was horrified and lit him up for it. Okay, she fucked him up for it. Mike said it was a normal thing. Later, Taylor and I told Mary what had happened. She was really upset and decided to confront Josh. Josh just brushed it off saying, it's a dude thing, that it won't happen again. But Mary is choosing to believe him and stay, which I think is insane for a few reasons. One, Mary had no idea she was being filmed, which is scary and illegal. Shouldn't she be concerned about his sexuality? This is not a normal boy thing. They are just gaslighting us, right? Any advice on how to proceed is much appreciated. I'll even send her this episode if need be. Thanks.
What the fuck? Like, you told her and she didn't do, like, care very much.
She didn't freak the fuck out?
She didn't care enough to, like,
leave?
Do something about it. She has the information. She's a grown woman. it couldn't be me, but like, what else can you do?
If you want to send her this episode, this is what I'll say directly to Mary. Mary, or whatever your real name is. Somebody taking a video of you having sex with you without your consent is so borderline illegal, and it is so insanely disrespectful. It is illegal. It's so insanely disrespectful. There's actually not words for it. It's not a normal thing that happens. So someone who's supposed to be your boyfriend and protect you and love you and shield you from the outside world, doing that without your consent is not somebody you want to be with, and not someone who is actually has your best interest at heart. Then to send that video to a different person takes us to another level of betrayal. And I don't know if you know this and you don't care. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what this man has on you or why you feel the need to stay with him and whatever it is. Like, I'm sure you're doing your best. But I just want to let you know, like, outside perspective, we don't know any of these people. We're just outsiders. This is so insanely disgusting and disrespectful. And, like, you deserve better. So if your friend did send you this episode, like, this is not normal. Like, you absolutely, this is grounds. It's not even like a red flag. It is a red volcano. It's so disturbing. And this, and his reaction is even more disturbing. I don't think his sexuality is in question. I think he might think this is like a thing people do. It's not.
No, it's not. And he's a loser for like even wanting to show that to his friends. That gives him some kind of like, I don't know, credibility. Man who thinks that way is not
disgusting.
A man. Yeah, maybe you're too far in it to like see out.
Right.
Wake up. Like, this is no, like there's no, the only response would be to end things with this person. Like, this is not a trustworthy person. This is not a good person.
This is not who you want for your partner in life, to protect you, to be in the weeds with you, to potentially father your children. Like, this is not the type of person you want on your side. He's an enemy to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So.
Oh, my God. Very disturbing.
At least you have good friends who will be there for you.
Yeah.
To help you get through this time, but this has got to end.
Got to end. Thank you to everyone who wrote into Dear Toasters. Again, that email is deartoasters@gmail.com. If you ever want to write in, we will always keep your shit anonymous, and you could write in about pretty much anything. That is our show. Jax, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for listening.
It's been a pleasure, though. I'm very disturbed now.
I know. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Toast, and leave a five-star review about how wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an incredible hump day. Don't forget to hump someone you love, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye.